We're going to spend just a few moments thinking about that passage, but every time one of us stands at the front, we don't want to hear what we have to say. We long to hear what God has to say. So let me ask for his help with a short prayer. Father, we pray that you would take the words from this passage and you would please plant them in our hearts. Help us to know them, help us to understand them, and as they show us more of you, would we be captivated again by the astonishing gift of Christmas. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, dare I say, unless you have made a conscious decision to avoid it, you might have seen one of the biggest TV ads this year featuring, well, Christmas' most unlikely couple. It's the story of Joe Wilkinson, the star of Celebrity Traitors, and A-list celebrity Keira Knightley, who meet over a Waitrose cheese counter. If you haven't seen it, have a look at this.
Thank you.
It's a Christmas love story for the ages, right? A real festive rom-com, complete with misunderstandings, plot twists, romance at the end. And now, ultimately, they're trying to persuade us to buy some overpriced food. But stick with it for a second, because I think they also share with us the idea that maybe, just maybe, Christmas is about more than overpriced food. In fact, the idea is that you look beyond the packaging of what's in front of you to see the priceless gift before your eyes. At the opening words from our reading from John are words that should spark a flame in us too. Words that take us back not just 2,000 years, but to see things in cosmic terms. Words from God that cause us to consider not just the beginning of our world, but the beginning of time itself. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Part of the genius of Christmas adverts this year is that there seems to be this strong kind of moral thread running through them. Whether it's John Lewis and a father and his teenage son, or Joe and Kira with Waitrose, the nostalgia, the kind of sentiment of it all opens up a conversation for us, even if it's just in our own heads. Maybe as you take stock of the year gone, as you even dare to look ahead to 2026, we're perhaps more willing than usual to think about our values and see how we measure up. Am I a bit superficial like Joe's friends in the pub? Am I self-centred like the John Lewis dad? Is there more to life than just stuff? I guess that's the final question where the brands all start to trip up. Though I guess they'd rather we didn't notice that. Waitrose invites us to look beyond the surface while also trying to sell us the dream of stuff that looks perfect on the surface. John Lewis is packed with things all designed to fulfil our desires, while at the very same time its ad warns us about the danger of putting stuff above people. It's almost like the ads long for meaning, and yet they realise they can't fully get us there. Here's where the gospel writer John throws up his hands. Words that burst off his page of someone called the Word. A person who's eternally existed both with God and as God. More than that, verse 3 tells us that this person, this Word, is the creator of all things. That through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. He's the giver of everything, the giver of life, verse 4, the one who brings light to all people, the one who lets light shine into the darkness for us. Christmas ads, wonderful as they are, they rightly capture our desire, but it is the gospel, the message of Jesus, that points us in the right direction. It's where Christianity, I think, offers something so much better than even the best tearjerkers this year. Because this Word that John wants us to know is not some philosophical abstraction. It's not just ink on the page, far less a product to buy. But it is a historical occurrence. It's a person. The first Christmas, John tells us, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. I'll skim forward a bit to verse 14, the end of the passage that Richard read, and it's an explosive finish as well. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Isn't there both genius and wonder in that? When John says that Jesus dwelt with us, God is described by John as taking up residence in a physical human body, just like you. I think we lose the wonder so easily, but just imagine Tolkien being born as a hobbit and living in the Shire. J.K. Rowling going to school at Hogwarts, and Michael Bond appearing in the cast of Paddington. The heartbeat of the Christian claim is that in the incarnation, with the arrival of Jesus on earth, that the Almighty Creator of all has come and stood alongside us. He has forever identified himself with the human race, with every person who's ever existed and every person who ever will. This Christmas, would you take the time to notice the gift right before your eyes? Come back with me to those adverts again. Think with me at John's Gospel, because the questions kind of still linger for us. On Christmas Eve, it gives us space to reflect on the type of people we are and the type of things we prioritize. Hard though it might initially seem, pausing for a moment in the darkness gives us space to do business with our world and dare I say, to do business with our hearts. We look back over a year of terrorist attacks and political deceit, of personal hardship, at financial tragedy, and even the fun of carols and fairy lights. Well, you can't hide that credit card bill under a paper hat for long. Family tensions always seem to bubble to the surface. And if we know there's darkness out in our world, in our homes, it shows us our fault lines with God. Like a mirror reflecting back to us. So here's John again, those verses that I skimmed over. Says in verse 9, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. Verse 10, he was in the world. And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. The darkness around us, the Bible says, well, it's like a giant mirror reflecting back that darkness and that divide between us and God. We might be a whole lot nicer than the Grinch, but we love to do the same thing of taking the good gifts and ignoring the giver. We love the paper crowns of Christmas, and we kind of love to live like we've got a crown on all year round. And yet the astonishing good news of Christmas is the invitation to notice the best gift right before our eyes. Do you remember from verse 5? The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Though by nature and by choice we push God away, verse 12 says that to all who do receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gives the right to become children of God. The wonder of the Christmas story is that into a world longing for hope, light has come. Not a gadget or a gimmick, but a historical event, a person. Light that overflows my sin and your shame, as the triune God of the Bible chases away our darkness and invites us to come back home. As we close, let me tell you about a professor speaking about 100 years ago, where he was invited to a conference. He'd spent 40 years as an academic at the University of Oxford, devoted to the study of world religion, and he said this: I've devoted as much time to the study of the holy books as any other human being in the world, and I have found one central thread. Be it the Veda of the Brahmins, the Purana of Siwa and Vishnu, the Quran of Islam, the Sedan Vesta of the Zoroastrians, at the one single chord of all these holy books is salvation by works. You see, they all teach that getting to heaven is something you must buy or earn, and your own work and merit is the price. That is true of every single religion except one. True, he says. Good works are required in Christianity, but they only ever flow as the overflow of a grateful heart. They are the thank offering, the fruit of faith. For in Jesus, the price has already been paid in full. It's John's invitation in the first chapter of his book. To those who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gives the right to be called children of God. Not by what we do, but by what he has done. If you'd like to know more, we'd love to give you an eyewitness account of you leave, or could we give you an invitation to join us for a little group called Hope Explored that is starting in January. It's an opportunity to ask any question, to wrestle things through, but it is my prayer that this Christmas, each of us might take time to notice the gift right before our eyes. And if we ask God to help, he will. One of the ways we get to respond is by reminding ourselves of our hope in this world. Reminding ourselves of what it is that Christians across the world believe. It's called a creed, a statement of faith. If you're able, can I invite you to stand with me as we say this together, and then as we sing afterwards.